Now on Life Matters, time to hear from Ellie Varenti again. She's been hunkered down considering a very important topic for this month's column, How to Be Good, something most of us have grappled with at some stage in our lives. Take it away, Ellie.
The central question at the heart of Nick Hornby's book, How to Be Good, is a beauty. What does it mean to be a good person in today's world? And how does one do and be good without a coherent belief structure or faith to rely on for directions? Is the impulse to be a good person natural or learned? And if it is acculturated, from whom, from what do we learn? I want to be a good person because I'm concerned, not convinced, but concerned that I'm not good enough anyhow. Is this normal? The psychoanalysts would have it that some of us have a sense of being bad right to our core and that we blame ourselves for everything. Since my sister took her own life 10 months ago, I have been thinking a lot about goodness. Was I good enough to her when she was alive? If I had been more good and others more good too, could we have saved her? I will never know. One of the many catastrophic remnants of suicide is that single, unanswerable question. When bad things happen, we're called upon to take stock and to undergo the toughest of self-interrogations, and I have been an expert torturer. And amidst it all, the goodness question keeps on coming up. I'm a good person in most ways, Hornby's central character says, but I'm beginning to think that being a good person in most ways doesn't count for anything very much if you're a bad person in one way. When I mention to friends that I'm writing about goodness, they're pretty forthcoming. What kind of goodness? You mean like being kind to strangers, love thy neighbour and all that? I think a good person is a compassionate one, empathetic. Yeah. A good person is open-hearted, you know? Someone who doesn't judge others too quickly and someone who listens and isn't just off on their own journey, oblivious to everyone else's journey. You are all so domestic, so small world. A good person is one who has more than a self-serving interest in what's happening in the rest of the world and who gives a fuck and does more than just pay their yearly amnesty subscription. A good person is ethical, truthful, sincere. My ex is definitely not a good person then. Neither is mine. Bad, all bad. But your good may not be my good. I mean, Hitler probably thought he was... Okay, that's just all truth is relative undergraduate philosophy bullshit. We all of us recognise good and evil when we see it. We know. We know how it sounds, smells and how it feels. Good is universal and so is evil. Some of my friends have done courses and things. Most of my friends have had lots of struggle in their lives and my friends, I suspect they're all good people. But when we're talking good and goodness, in what context are we considering it? In the public or the private realm? And what about all those mini realms that call on us to make morally, emotionally, politically, hormonally informed choices every day? 3 days a month, I am not a good person. I am a person inhabited by the demon of all things envious, hurtful, depressed and vicious. For 3 days a month, I take no responsibility for my emails, texts, phone calls, the way I treat children, lovers, colleagues, people at traffic lights, the next door neighbour's dog, mothers, fathers and the girl in the chemist. I am not a good person during these 3 days of PMS. No, I am a bad person. I can't help it. It's the hormones made me do it, Your Honour. For the rest of the time, when I'm living an ordinary life, complete with its fair or unfair serve of challenges and struggles, joys and hurts, am I good? And if I am asking such a question, is it because I'm a self-examining person who wants to be a better person, or because I'm a symptom of my baby boomer Gen Y cusp demographic and just self-regarding middle class, a consumer lurching weakly from guilt to self-entitlement and back again? I decide to consult the Bible. No, not that Bible. And anyway, God knew that none of us could adhere to those Ten Commandments. I, for example, have a particular problem with the thou shalt not covet another man's donkey. I love donkeys. So, no, I didn't consult the Bible for instructions on how to be good, but the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This book just keeps on getting fatter every year because the psychiatric establishment just keeps on adding new conditions because we're just getting nuttier, apparently. Or is it the shrinks who are getting nuttier? Chicken or the egg debate aside, we're living in an increasingly pathologised world, that's for sure. Adult ADHD is diagnosed and treated with dexamphetamine and anti-epileptics as fast as you can say. And do you get distracted easily? And are you anxious about numbers? Bipolar 2 is what thousands of us are having in between drinks and trips to the toilet, apparently. Look up those psych disorders yourself and just see if you don't get scared when you find yourself ticking tons of boxes to tons of syndromes. No, psychopaths are not good. And I'm not making fun of mental illness here, because anyone who's listened to any of my columns these past 5 years knows that there is nothing remotely funny about psych disabilities. Nothing. So I look up G for goodness, in the hope that there'll be 20 or so boxes I can tick or cross that will diagnose me as a good person, an all right person, an okay one, a tricky one, or an outright bad one. Nothing. So I start to make up my own checklist. When a friend of yours tells you she has found a man who is smart, compassionate, funny, employed, loves children, single and magnificent in bed, you are, 1, happy for her, 2, pleased for her, but a little surprised, 3, sure that she deserves a bit of fun finally, 4, can't believe he likes her, but good on her, 5, so jealous you cannot see, talk, text or email her for a month. An Indigenous man whom you've met a couple of times at a friend's place comes around one night when you're looking after your friend's place while she's away, and you, 1, let him in, expect he'll sober up a little after some food, have him cry into his plate about how much he loves you and your friend, give him a bed for the night and his taxi fare back to his hostel the next morning after first calling the hospital to check on his friend who's cut up his arms the night before. You go to bed that night, unable to sleep for the shame and sadness you feel about the whole sorry incident. 2. Let him in and do all of the above, but wish he hadn't chosen this night to interrupt you when you're finally just getting down to some work. You let him in, but you don't offer him anything. It'll just encourage him. And then you tell him that if he doesn't leave, you'll call the cops. 3. You don't let him in. And as you're walking away back down the hall and with him calling out for you to please let him in because his friend lets him stay here sometimes, you can't believe what a bleeding heart your friend is. You go to bed that night and sleep like a baby. 4. You don't let him in. You call him a drunken black bastard and tell him that this is not his place and to go back to where he comes from and find someone else to bother. You go to bed that night and decide that next time your friend asks you to look after her place when she's away, you'll say no. You watch some footage on the telly of your PM in the Australian desert somewhere handing back some land or something and fall asleep with the television on. I consult another friend. My DSM list is not looking good. Good is to enable, he says, and bad is to disable. I like that. Being good is to stand out of someone's way. Love them, be there for them. Like them, be their wife, colleague, friend or their teacher and allow them to be the best they can. It is not a good person who disables another, sabotages or conspires to have them not be their best. Trouble is that sometimes we don't know when we're doing this. A good person allows others in and alone simultaneously. So I determined to be good. No handbook to guide me, no religious values to reassure me, no mentor to direct me, no conscience to rely on, because these days my conscience has fragmented. The fragmentation of the conscience, Mr. Scott Peck calls it. Now that book, The Road Less Travelled, is a beauty on how to be good. So a month ago, I decided to launch my Be Good project, and today I'm checking in. So, do I know any more about what it is to be a good person? Not really. But it's good I'm asking the question, right? Am I still concerned that I'm not always good and that I'm still, I don't know, fibbing, envying, complaining, arguing, coveting another man's donkey? Yes, but I'm not as worried because I've noticed that most of us fail a lot of the time. Do I hope my sister is in heaven because even though she was sometimes bad, she was good, very good for more of the time? Absolutely. Like it says in the Nick Hornby book, I don't believe in heaven or anything, but I want to be the kind of person that qualifies for entry anyway.
Thanks, Ellie. Good luck with your efforts. How to be good all the time is something all of us should think about. Have you thought about it, I wonder? Let me know via the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters, or you can give the listener line a call 02 833 1430, and I'd love to hear from you on any of today's stories, of course. This is Life Matters with me, Richard Adie, on ABC Radio National.